as well. Take your Bible, please, and turn to 1 Samuel. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 21. Heavenly Father, I do praise you, Lord, being the all-wise and powerful God that you are. I'm so glad that you are loving and full of guidance and wisdom to be able to tell us where we should be, what we should be doing within our life. I pray that we might learn and grow as we see characters in the Old Testament that live out the teachings in the New Testament. I pray that we might do that and honor you in that way and the things that you have done with people in history. Thank you for the privilege of preaching thy word. Each one of us should thank you that we have a church where we can come, be comfortable, and be able to know the full gospel of the Bible. Thank you for the Bible you've given us. Help us to study it in Jesus' name. Amen. Call your attention to 1 Samuel. And you should know the story of David and Saul. King Saul, the first king of Israel. He started out well, and the first hero that Saul had was a little teenage boy called David as he stood against Goliath of Gath. And but then he started getting jealous of David. And David had to flee for his life, for Saul wanted to kill him and get him out of the way. Everybody was praising David for everything that he had done and not praising Saul. And as childish as it should assume to us that this is what happened in Scripture. And so we see that all laid out in the Old Testament books, 1 Samuel, Kings and Chronicles as well. And that's what this revolves around. David is running from Saul. It's getting real bad now. David's all by himself. And we come to chapter 21. We start reading in verse 8. And it says, "And David said unto Ahimelech." Now, Ahimelech is the king of Gath. Gath is where Goliath came from. Wow. So what's going on? David's running from Saul. Saul's ready to kill him. David doesn't know where else to go. And so he's afraid, and he makes the wrong choice. He goes to the enemy. He goes to Ahimelech. He goes to Gath because he figures Saul will never look in Gath because those are Philistines. They've always been the enemy of Israel. So that's what he does. And this is what happens here. If you read the first part of 1 Samuel, like in verse 1, "Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, Why art thou alone and no man with thee?" And so forth. We skipped all of that for brevity and for time. But to pick it up in verse 8 that we just read. And in verse 9, it says, "And the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it. For there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it me. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them, and he feigned, that means faked, he acted. He feigned himself mad in their hands. And he scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto the servants, lo, ye see, the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of a madman ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? Verse 1 says, David therefore departed, and and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all of his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. Excuse me. So here we have, when he was afraid, he made the wrong decision. A great man like David, afraid? A great king to be like David, made a foolish decision to go and join himself to the enemy? Devastating circumstances can happen to any of us. You don't know what the future holds. Even Job, the things that happened to Job. In Job 14:1, he says, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Right from the very beginning, you see trouble. Bad things happening to good men. Job, you couldn't find any sin in him, but he lost everything. Life is unpredictable, is it not? And you need to get the wisdom of God and realize the answer to your trouble. Don't panic when you get trouble. It's natural for us to be afraid. Learn from David. Fear will cripple you. Fear will tie you up in chains so you can't do anything. When you operate by fear rather than faith, you will prove yourself a fool, and you'll miss the blessings that God has for you in the future for your life. I mean, the Bible says about Job, he was perfect and upright, and one that feareth God and eschew with evil. Sometimes things just don't happen. We encounter affliction because we bring it upon ourselves. We're the problem. But we like to blame it on somebody else all the time, don't we? We look for a scapegoat. Many times we'll blame God for all of this. David was in a difficult situation of his own making. Even that he would play act to the enemy because he was afraid what they would do to him because he was the king, and they knew he was the king. He was the one that slew Goliath. He was afraid of being killed right then, and so he played like he was crazy. He went scrabbling on the doorposts and with his fingers and everything, and just acting weird and out of control, and he was drooling. He let that fall down in his beard. Everybody could see it, and everybody backed up and everything. This guy's nuts. And Abimelech the king said, "What are you bringing him to me for?" And so, remember in verse 1 of that next chapter, he said he escaped. So maybe he was even going through some torture and slavery because of that. They were taking advantage of that. But you know, David put himself in that position. I'm glad that God always has an answer for our lives when you're afraid. That's the title of the message, When I Am Afraid. Go to Psalm chapter 56. Keep your place here in 1 Samuel, but go to Psalm 56. Wish everybody was here to hear it. But they'll have to listen on YouTube. Psalm 56. David complains of his enemies. What did David say? "Be merciful unto me, O God, for a man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, what are you going to do? I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words." The word "wrest" means like wrestling. It's talking about twisting. They were twisting his words and saying things that he didn't say. "Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. When they wait for my soul, shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. And they, are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word, in the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me. O God, I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" The whole context of Psalm 56 is 1 Samuel chapter 21 that we read just a little while ago. David's plan was to escape Saul. Didn't know where else to go, so he went to the enemy. It's never a good thing to make alliances with the enemy. So David's logic was seriously flawed, and his plan backfired on him. They knew him. He was too well known. And it says, and David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul. We see this whole thing is because of fear. What are you going to do when you're afraid? When you have anxiety? Are you going to give in to fear? Or are you going to live by faith? That's everybody's choice. God's not forcing you. God's giving you the answer that we just read in Psalm. Did you notice also in Psalm 56? Do you have something just before verse 1 that it says, a Mishkem of David? You have that in your Bible? Okay. Mishkem. It was talking about something to remember, to mark down. And there's six of those psalms. The other psalm is 34 and four others beside that as well. And so this is something that is very important that he's talking about. David said twice that his enemies would swallow him up. But the enemies won't if you follow God and you have your trust in him. It does say in 1 Chronicles 16:22, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. And in Psalm 56, you see David crying out to God because of his fear. God is the only solid one. He never changes. Things in your life will change all the time. Sometimes you just don't know what's around the corner every day. That's why you need to think about God as soon as you open your eyes in the morning. Maybe even before your feet hit the floor. Talk to God. Get it right with you and him at the very start of your day. He knows what's in store the rest of the day, but you don't. So start your day out the way it should be. And it said Mishkem. That word means to engrave. Keep your place here. Go to the book of Job, chapter 19. Job, chapter 19, to your left of Psalms, of course. Job, chapter 19, verse 23. Job says, oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Even Job said, when you're going through something as bad as he's going through, oh, that it would be written in a book. And God gave him his wish. The Word of God, the oldest book in the Bible. And he says, oh, that my tears as they fell. Isn't that what David said? That they'd be caught in a bottle, in the book. I can imagine. And I have seen old saints of God that I got their Bible and I looked at it and I could see the drips of tears on the pages of the Bible. Huh. God sees those tears. God knows what's going on. He knows when you're afraid. That doesn't give us an excuse not to obey Him, but to get our faith going, to overcome the fear, to go ahead and obey God in your life. That's courage. God told Joshua and others to be of good courage. Be strong. We don't need weak Christians. We need strong Christians. Go ahead and do what they should for the Lord. Along with emotional stress, extreme adversity, and they can cause headaches and heart attacks and high blood pressure and ulcers and other physical ailments. We might make some foolish decisions like David did. You don't understand how great David was, and if he'd make a foolish decision like that, don't think you're above David. God is always there. It's a prodigal. David came back real quick because he was a man of God. What a blessing. Don't be foolish like a silly dove. What am I talking about? Hosea chapter 7, verse 11. He says, Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt. They go into Assyria. What's Ephraim doing? They're going to their enemies. How did this all happen with Jacob and everything else? Egypt was against Israel. But when they didn't have enough heat and everything, they didn't trust God. They went, Joseph, they thought they were doing bad to Joseph, putting him in a pit. But he was going to feed the whole world through Egypt, through his enemies, and turn that thing around. And this doesn't talk about Joseph being afraid, even when he was in prison or anything else. He was disappointed for sure. But this is what these Psalms were all about, is mishtam, talking to about engraving, even like an iron pen that it was talking about in Job. Realizing he had gotten himself in trouble, David asked for mercy. Right there in Psalm 56 that we see, he's asking for mercy. First verse, be merciful unto me, O God. Mm-hmm. Talks about his enemies in verse 2. They rise up against me, O Most High. David's afraid. Twice, David said there in verse 2, they would swallow him up. He's trying to get across the point that he's afraid. And David knew that there were a lot of them in verse 2. There are those that you're going to come across in your life that are going to cause you angst and distress within your life. Do what David did, run to God. He escaped his enemies. And he wrote Psalm 56 to show it. And our enemies are relentless every day, fighting daily. They twisted David's words They lied about him. For us to make the wrong move, they were just waiting for him to do something foolish. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. They wait for my soul, is what it says. I give David a lot of kudos. There's not many people that are willing to admit their fears openly, but he does. Puts it in the Word of God for everybody to read. Verse 3, it said, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in God." How about trusting God in your life? A lot of Christians, they panic. They don't fulfill the will of God in their life. If we're not spending time daily in the Word of God, we're asking for trouble. That's why we're going through the Bible in a year, to have you read every day. As old as I have gotten, as old as I have the many years of teaching the Word of God to others, I read through the Bible again and I find new things. It's a spiritual book. The Bible says it's alive. It's the living Word of God. Don't think that you've ever attained. None of us have. No one ever will. Right there in verses 7 through 11 in Psalms, he was mindful. God is merciful and God is mindful. He knows. Psalm 40 in verse 17 says, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." God is mindful of our trials. See verse 7. Now all of us get a little angry when people come after us. But we get a hold of that anger. We get it right with God and everything settles down. Don't let our anger or lying or anything like that overcome you. You be slow, not hasty. Don't make haste decisions. It's always in the back of the mind that Satan tells you to just quit. Just get out. He wants you to run. That's not the answer to life. It always seems like it's greener on the other side, but it never is. 1 Chronicles told you that a man of God, you don't touch him. He's God's anointed. David was in God's school of hard knocks. And God gives stiff exams at the end as well. And that's what life is for us. God's proving us. God's testing us. What will we do in this circumstance? Because he's already given us the answer in the Word. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to live the Word? Or just hear the Word on Sunday and forget it the rest of your life? In verse 8, he said, "Thou tellest my wanderings." He's saying it's recorded. Thou hast recorded my wanderings. Put your tears in thy bottle, that they are not in the book. There is a book. There's a book written of our lives. A book physically from birth All the way through, God keeps record of everything. Most of your life when you were young, you've forgotten. God didn't forget. He was writing it down all the time. And then, when you are born again, there's a book of life. The Lamb's book of life. That's when you really get life. And everything from then on are recorded in that. And at the end, at the judgment, that's what God looks for, is your name in the book of life. And so what you do in your life, you have to think about before you do something foolish like David did here, act like a madman. There are a lot of people out here acting like madmen do out here in the world. There isn't anything that goes on in our life that God is not aware of. It's a book of remembrance. God remembers us. Just when you think God didn't, he doesn't remember you. David said that he does remember us. You see, bottom line is God is faithful. Men are fickle. Can't trust him. It doesn't matter what comes into his life. As we already read there in verse 11, God, I will put my trust in. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Boy, he had the right kind of spirit. He was going to go on no matter what. Keep your place and go to Joshua 14. What happened over there? Joshua chapter 14. Somebody that's 85 years old. I'm getting close to that. A couple of you ladies, you're older than that. Amen.
Not Jane.
We are not.
No.
Just me.
Just you? Oh, I forgot the spring chicken over here. Joshua 14, verse 12. We are talking about Caleb. He's 85 years old. And he says, now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there. Those are the giants, the Anakims were there. And that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord had said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Yeah, amen. Praise God for Caleb. I'm talking about a spirit. I'm talking about David being afraid and getting right with God. And David went on, did he not? And took over as king. And even David's son, Solomon, built the first temple. Solomon's temple. Romans 12 tells us not to be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. Yeah, you got something to prove it to God. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is yours. A perfect will of God for your life. Will you miss it? Or will you conform to Him? And it doesn't happen overnight. It's a lifelong process. Somebody said there are 30,000 promises in the Bible. Amen. You see a promise that's in context and it's for you? Claim it. and live it. It's the only way you got saved. He promised us eternal life if we'll trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to get us there. In verses 12 and 13, what a mighty God that we serve. Nothing is impossible with the Lord. Absolutely nothing. When everything else is gone, the Lord can do it. He says there in verses 12 and 13, thy vows are upon me, O God. I render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Delivered, it means plucked. The picture is graphic. That a man being snatched away from surrounding danger. Only God can do that. Got to learn to trust God, not fear. He said, I'm under vows. Is that what he said there? I remember my father-in-law. I remember Mr. Creason. That would be Marlene Drake's father. She was a Creason. I always said she's a crazy Zon, but she's a Creason. Amen. He got away from God. Marlene's mother died, Mr. Creason's wife, of cancer, and he dropped out of church. He didn't go to church for years. He was a soul winner. He was good. He was instrumental in me getting saved. But he let that thing swallow him up. He got back to beer drinking and everything. I mean, it was bad. We were praying for him and trying to encourage him all the time going over there. One day he went ice fishing. He went ice fishing when the weather was not real cold, not real warm, right in between. And there were warm currents underneath the ice in certain places. He went ice fishing alone out there in the Niagara River by Tonawanda. We didn't know about it. He fell through the ice. He was a heavy man. Had all of his clothes on and everything else, and nobody around. Nobody was anywhere. He was grabbing at the ice, and the ice was just breaking away. There was no way for him to get out of that. And he vowed a vow unto God. Just like David did here in Psalm 56. He told the Lord that he'd go back to church and he'd get right, read his Bible and everything else, you know. But there was nobody around. There's no way he's going to be saved out of this. He knew he was going to die in just a few minutes. Little did he know, a guy that lived down the road, and it was on a high hill. The way that he was going to go to his destination, something told him not to go that way and that he should take the long way around by the edge of the cliff. And sure enough, he saw Mr. Creason out there in the ice and drove down there. And long story short, he got him out and took him to the hospital where they tried to warm him up and everything. You know, he was just about gone because of the coldness of the ice that he was next to for a long time. Then they called us, Marlene and I, and we went to the hospital and saw him and everything. But you know,
he came home, remember?
What?
He came home and he kicked his boots off. Yeah. Remember he told us?
Yeah.
I'll never forget that. Because he said, you almost lost me. And he sat down and he kicked the boots off because they were so heavy with water.
Sure.
And the man got him there. And
Yep. But anyway, he did. He kept his vow. That's the whole deal. He had to get real afraid. God brought him right to the brink of death. And by a miracle, this guy, and he's lost. He didn't know why he went that way, he said. We knew why. God had that all in the plan. Boy, he started going back to church and reading his Bible and witnessing to everybody. And he had some weird fisherman hats that he had, and he'd put all kinds of lures and stuff on his hat and make him, you know, look a little crazy. But people would stop him and comment on his hat, and he used that for an opportunity to witness to them. And everything, you
know.
There's
a story behind that hat.
Right. We won't get into any more, but.
Right here.
He was
right there.
Yeah, yeah. He came to church. I asked him, our little church, I asked him to give his testimony, and he did, of everything right here. I think we still have it on our website. I'm not sure. But anyway, he kept his vows. And became a deacon and everything else. I mean, all the way through in a huge church that we're in the first place. David had to get afraid, act like a madman, try to make alliances with the enemy. But he escaped, is what that verse said. God always has a way out. In his time and in his way. And the way isn't something you'd ever think would happen. That's what makes life so thrilling with the Lord. You don't know how the Lord's going to do something, but he's aware of it. There's something that's always going to come up and interfere with us coming to church. And we don't get close to God. We give in to our fear. And how quickly we forget what happened to David. The conclusion is there in verse 13, the last part of the verse. He had run ahead of God in going down to Gath. David failed to walk wisely when he sought refuge in Gath. But after this debacle that he had in his life, he determined to follow the light of God's leadership in future decisions. And so it is. There's story after story in this great book that we study of great men doing great things, but sometimes they mess up. Sometimes they're foolish. No one's perfect. There's no doubt about that. But God is always the answer.
Pastor.
Yeah.
Psalm 34 goes right along with that. It's a great chapter.
Yep.
I live in that chapter, and I live in the others when I'm afraid, because it just gives you peace.
Amen. Psalm 34, also read this afternoon. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we could study your word. We could allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us about our lives and what we should do. Help us, Lord, to keep close to you, obey you, stand up and be strong, not weak and run. Help us, Lord. We need your power. We need your comfort. You said you'll never leave us or forsake us, and certainly you never have. Thank you for being the loving, merciful God you are. Bless us, we leave your house this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.